Good morning again, church. I'd ask you to open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to bring you back into our week a little bit as Jonathan led the youth in devotionals. I believe this was the second or third day. I'm thinking it's the second day in the morning session. We had two sessions. We had a morning session and an evening session. And they kind of tied together for the day. And this was the morning portion of the second day. And we're going to talk about faith. The whole basic word of the week was faith, and it tied into abide, like Jonathan was saying, as he was working on that song, and the youth started, he was playing it, and they would just sit around, and they started helping, you know, singing it with him, and it became one of those things where I didn't think we were going to sing it today, but it worked out to where God provided it for today, because it is such a powerful understanding of our faith. Those two words together, faith and abide, tie together so directly to live in and with Jesus, to abide with Jesus. This unbreaking relationship means that our faith is very important and tied to that. Jonathan mentioned about the hike that we did. we're sitting there on the one day, we're like, what are we going to do this afternoon? And we want to go on a hike. And so Raleigh comes up to me, and I'm sitting outside on the porch, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, do you think we can hike 8 miles? "Yeah, I think we can hike 8 miles. And I'm thinking, you know, it depends on, I guess, what kind of hike you're talking about, right? You know, is this flat? And so we, you know, okay, let's do this hike. So we drive out there, and we all unpack the vans, and, you know, there's 18 of us getting ready to go up this mountain. We start across this bridge, and you start up this rock gravel lane, basically. It's almost like a, not quite as wide as a driveway, but kind of like a driveway. And it starts, you know, just slowly elevating. Now, we know that in 4 miles, we're going to elevate 2,200 feet. And at the end of this elevation, there's going to be waterfalls. That's what we're going to do. Look at these waterfalls. And we cross this river, and we start the hike. And it's gradual. We go on this gravel path. This isn't bad. We can definitely do this for 4 miles in, 4 miles back. Not a problem, right? We get a mile and a half in. There's a sign. You're a mile and a half in. There's a little opening into the river. And, you know, all the kids go down in there like, we're going to swim a little bit. Sounds good. We go down in there. They start swimming around, you know, climbing on rocks and playing and enjoying that. And a few of the kids said, you know, "Hey, we'd like to just start continuing up because, you know, I feel like I'm getting tired and I want to kind of get ahead of the faster ones here so that they don't pass us up." Okay, I'll take, you know, so I took a few of them and we started. Well, as soon as you come out of there and you go around a bend, all of a sudden you see 5 steps and it's steep quick. You're like, huh, okay. So you climb up these 5 steps and it's a little bit, you know, go around another bend. 10 steps. Around another bend, 15 or 20 steps. You're like, uh-oh, this is happening quickly, right? You cross the river, you cross, you keep going. We come to a place where you get across the river and you looked up and there's got to be 500 steps. And you're going, oh, no, right? It was difficult. It was trying, right? And every step along the way, at least, you're hoping that there is an end to this, but it questioned your faith on, is there really an end to this, right? So, you know, you're questioning, you know, am I going to be able to make this, you know, but all in all, you realize, you know, you put one foot in front of the other, and you're a step closer. There is something to the end of this. There is a reward to this. We're going to get to this place where there's going to be a beautiful waterfall. We're going to be able to sit and relax for a little bit, cool off and all those things. But I'll tell you what, you'd walk about, you know, 100, 120 yards, 200 yards, I don't know, and it'd be like, you're almost there. That's 2 miles in. Only two more to go. Hey, Rob, how far have we gone? How far have we gone? We look down here. We had to have gone another mile by now, right? We've gone another lap around the track, which if you know what that means, it means it's a quarter mile, right? And so all this time as you're walking, you know, you're thinking, we're going to get to the end. We're going to get to the end, you know. We have faith that there is an end to this. But like John said, what you learn through these kinds of things, you learn a lot as you're praying. You know, you're walking up, you're taking steps, you're praying. You know, God's revealing himself to you in many different ways. And a lot of times it's things about yourself. The struggles that maybe you're going through, as you're praying, God's speaking to you about certain things. Even as you're praying about the whole group and us making this and everything being okay, God is revealing himself to you on a personal level. It's really a wonderful experience. But you know, what it makes you learn is that when you go through hard things, that's when you can draw closest to God. That's when God does draw closest to you, or when you should draw closer to God, right? We shouldn't let the hard things push us away from God. That's when we should lean into God. And that's where it comes into understanding what faith really is. Faith isn't this thing, this magic fairy dust that God just gives us and we set on a shelf somewhere. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we're told that God gives each an allotment of faith. And of course, he doesn't give it to us so that we can just set it someplace and be like, okay, good, I've got some faith. This faith is something that is active and supposed to grow and to increase. In fact, that is the word that is used in Scripture in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, as the apostles are dealing with Jesus, telling them, hey, how many times does somebody have to do something to you, and how many times are you supposed to forgive them? You see, back in you know, Joe's talk about Jewish tradition and how they handled things, if someone lied to you or faulted you or wronged you, man, I'll tell you what, you shunned them, especially if they had done it like seven times. And Peter asked Jesus this in Luke. We see this account. How many, you know, what if someone does this to me seven times, Lord? How many times am I supposed to forgive? What was Jesus' response? We all know this, right? Even if someone wrongs you seven times, 70 times, right? You're to forgive. And they say in the very next verse, we get to see this level going, oh, Lord, please increase our faith. Well, what does faith have to do with forgiving? What does faith have to do with forgiveness? Everything. Because it locks us into the relationship with Jesus. What do you really believe? If you really believe it, you will live it. That's what faith really is. It's a living. It's a worshiping. It's an understanding that all of our life, everything in our life is about worship of God. Faith is a great tool that God has given us to be able to live this life with him, for him, in his kingdom. I was thinking about that even just this morning, even more so. I'm going to do something a little bit different today in my sermon. You guys are going to recognize it. Don't worry, you won't miss it. But I was thinking about this two Sundays ago. You remember coming in here and this black stuff wasn't on the steps, this trim work. This step was just basically done. But before Sunday morning service, it wasn't done at all. It had nothing, no carpet on it. Jonathan grabbed it, took it back by our office. This is Sunday morning service, right before service. We decided we're going to go ahead and wrap the step so that it can be the tool that it is to be able to step up on the stage. But also because when you pull that out from under there, there's a bunch of wires and stuff you don't want to see. It doesn't look pretty. You ever see a bunch of jumbles of wires and it would drive you nuts, right? So this is a tool itself to be able to step up onto this stage, right? To be able to use it, and also works as a cover for what's under the stage. You starting to get what I'm saying yet? These tools that God has given us and how they can be used in different ways. Well, this tool of faith, how do we take that and use that? How do we properly apply faith into our lives? And what does it mean for us as we try to live this life? Because we all have these things called doubts as well. So let's read about this account that Jonathan shared with these kids, because this really spoke to me on Monday or Tuesday, whichever day it was. And I wanted to share this because I think this is something that we all deal with still today. Starting at verse 14 in Mark chapter 9, it says, when they came back to the disciples, now I guess I'm going to pause here, right here. Where are they coming back from? The Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus had just, Peter, John, and James were up with Jesus on this mountain, and he transfigured, right? And all, what you saw, Moses and Elijah. So they get to see this wonderful, miraculous thing happen. They come back down off this mountain, okay? That's where they're at. They come back to the disciples, the rest of the disciples. They see a large crowd around them. Some scribes are arguing with them. Immediately, the entire crowd saw him, and they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? And one of the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, This is Jesus asking the Father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into a terrible convulsion, it came out and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. So we have an instance of this man bringing his child to Jesus, and Jesus is not there, so they run into the disciples. Here's the disciples. Hey, will you please be able to cast this demon out of my boy? And they can't do it. Whatever's going on, they cannot cast out this demon. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears. He comes down off this mountain, and they see him. They run up to Jesus. Hey, I've brought you my son. Will you please be able to cast out this demon? There's obviously a belief that has happened. He's brought his boy from some distance to bring this boy to Jesus to be healed. So there's obviously a sense of belief there, right? There's obviously, you don't just go somewhere not believing something can happen. When we go to a hospital, we go there believing that we'll get some kind of help. There's a belief that has to happen there. But there's also doubt in our minds, isn't there? In the human side of us, we deal with this thing called doubt. And this thing called doubt is really a struggle for our faith. Because what if it doesn't work? What if this Jesus isn't able? I mean, his disciples weren't able. Now, man, this is a last-ditch effort. That's kind of how we always take Jesus, as a last-ditch effort. Well, I've tried everything else. Okay, Lord, will you please now solve this for me? Don't we do that? It's okay to say yes, because we have to be honest with ourselves. We come to a place sometimes where it's like, man, I've tried everything else. Maybe I should try going to the Lord. Maybe I should respond to what God's telling me to do, right? When he brings the boy to Jesus, one of the first things we see is this boy goes into convulsions. As evil comes near purity, what happens? That thing starts taking that boy and just, it's going crazy. Chaos. Think about that. This demon, there's a spiritual realm, guys. Right now, you can't see it, but you're involved in the battle right now. Right now. Right now, the enemy is trying to turn you away from the Word of God, turn you away from anything to do with Jesus, and trying to make you think, oh, none of this stuff matters. That's all in the Old Testament. Today, we just give them a pill. It made me start thinking about that. We just give them a pill. How much do you think that medicine sometimes maybe covers up the works of evil in our lives? The physical things that we can see, but doesn't solve the spiritual aspect of what we're dealing with. Because only Jesus can solve that. And Jesus has made a way by putting himself on the cross. And what we have to do is we come to him with repentant hearts. We come to him ourselves, say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you in my life. I need to walk with you. I need to be obedient to you. I need to know you. I need to have a relationship with you. And Jesus will bring about the healing. Not necessarily a complete physical healing all the time. We deal with things. Right? We know people who have cancer who are Christians, who love the Lord. They're not necessarily always healed of cancer. But you know what? Whenever we enter through that gate of death, if you walk through it with Jesus, guess what? You are healed. I promise you, if you walk through the gate of death with Jesus, no matter what physical ailment you're dealing with here, or mental ailment, or whatever it might be, if you walk through it with Jesus, you will be perfect with God in glory. Don't have to worry about that, but you have to do it with Jesus. You aren't going to be able to do it at the hospital with medicines. Those things are there to help us. There's no doubt. I'm not denying any of those things. But a lot of times we run to those things before we run to Jesus. A lot of times we try to take care of the problem ourselves. And here we see the situation where he finally brings his boy to Jesus. I need help. He needs help. Who of us wants to see our kids, especially as fathers? Who of us likes to see our kids suffering and in pain? We don't like to see that. We want to give them all the help that we can give them. We try to get them in the best life that we can. That doesn't mean by giving them everything, does it? Does it mean by giving them everything and doing it for them? We want to give them the best opportunity, but we can't do it for them. The best way we grow up is to learn how to do it, right? And as fathers, to teach our children how to do things. That's what God the Father has done for us. He's laid out, he's given us the tools, now it's time to teach us how to use those tools. And again, faith is one of those tools that affects us. I want to talk about some of these tools. I want you guys to think about this as we talk about this. And we all know some of these things here. While we were working on some of these, this carpet and painting these walls and stuff like that, we dealt with a lot of these tools, right? So what is this? A roller, right? Not necessarily a paint roller, right? I wasn't even thinking about this whenever we started this project. I think you should pull this out, you're going to be painting. And it doesn't mean to paint on the walls, right? What we started to do is using this to paint glue on the floor, right? Also can be used as a hammer. I'm an ex-well tender, so everything's a hammer too, just so y'all know. So it goes from a roller to a hammer or a utility knife to cut the carpet, right? Or a hammer, right? This is an actual hammer, just so you guys all know what a hammer looks like. Is this just for pounding nails? It also pulls nails, right? Pounding nails, pulls nails, right? Has two purposes. It's a tool, right? I'm not going to necessarily go over there and try to clean the window with a hammer. That'd be bad, right? How about this step I was talking about? If I want to take that step out of the way, which is a tool that was built by tools, I could take this tool here, and I could just drive it in there and try to pull that hammer or pull that chair or that step out of there, right? Or I can gently take it, put it in behind here, give myself some leverage, and be able to get a hold of that step and pull it out, right? The way we use the tools, this is called a wrecking bar, by the way. I like this. It's also a good hammer, right? This is the one that's more along the lines of when I think of Jonathan and some of you guys who actually know how to do things. This is a square. For some reason, carpenters like things to be square, whatever, right? This is more about perfection, lining things up, making sure it's actually right. I know Mr. COVID over here works on transmissions, and you can't just throw gears in some place and hope it works, right? It has to be the right tool. It has to be the right thing. God has given us this tool of faith, and upon the tool of faith, Jesus said, I will build my church. How important is faith? Well, Hebrews tells us that we can't please God if there is no faith in our lives. You want to please your father? I know growing up, I always wanted to please my dad. I didn't want to displease my dad. Not because I was afraid of getting beat. My dad hardly ever beat me. He probably should have beat me a lot more than he did. Not probably, he should have beat me more than he did. That's true. But I didn't want to disappoint my dad. I don't want to disappoint my father in heaven. To be able to please my father in heaven, we're told in Scripture that we have to have faith. Because faith is what drives us. 1 Peter also tells us that faith is what protects us as we walk through this life. Faith guards us. It guards our hearts. We talk about our kids, say, listen, we want you to guard your heart because there's a lot of things in the world that are trying to take your heart and twist it and turn it into something and towards something that is not eternal and that is not good. It is not the eternal life of God. Guard your heart. That happens through faith. We're told as we talk about the armor of God, the shield of faith. It protects against what? The enemy and the arrows that he's flinging at us all the time. You get up in the morning, you put on the armor of God. How do you put it on? Does everyone get up and actually have the armor of God sitting beside their bed and they put it on physically? Obviously, it's not a physical thing. It's this understanding that this armor of God comes into this understanding of a spiritual matter. Jesus has come to give us life and to give it abundantly. He's talking about the spiritual understanding of life. The things in life are going to continue to happen to us physically. But abundant spiritual life ends in glory with God, with Jesus. You're talking about this man here who brings his boy to Jesus. He's believing that Jesus can heal him. He brings him to Jesus, and all of a sudden this demon throws this boy onto the ground. Here's Jesus and this father talking, and Jesus sees this boy convulsing, and Jesus doesn't immediately reach down and heal the boy, does he? Think about this for a second. If you and I were there, and all of a sudden the son brings us this kid, and they throw him down like, we're going to get down to sleep. We're going to do everything we can to try to help him. Jesus stops, and he says, hey, how long has this been happening to him? It's like, what's that matter? Look at what's going on. Maybe that's what we would say, right? He stops to have a conversation. And the reason why is because Jesus wants to bring the heart of the matter up. He wants him to say something. He says, listen, it's been happening to him since birth. But if you can, will you heal him? There it is. He wants to address the doubt in his life. He wants to address the doubt today in our lives. What doubt do you have about Jesus in your life today? What are you doubting about our Lord and Savior? What do you think he can't do for you or with you? What do you think you can't accomplish with him? What is it? What is the doubt? What's hindering your relationship with Jesus? What's hindering your faith from growing and increasing? What is it? And I'm not trying to ask you a question to shout it out. Whatever it is in your life that you're doubting, whatever it is that's causing that, you need to come to Jesus and bring it to Jesus. He's dealing with this with the Father right now. If you can, he says, if you can, with God, all, say it louder, do it again, with God, with God, all things are. Do you believe that today, church? Do you believe that? It comes into this situation. Here it is. Here's my boy. He's convulsing. Jesus wants him to say that. He says, I do believe. Help my unbelief. It sounds like a contradiction. Like you read it like, I'm so confused. Do you believe or don't you believe? He's struggling with doubt. You struggle with doubt? And Jesus wants to show him no. He says, listen, you deaf and mute spirit, get out of here. Get gone. And he's gone. And then they think the boy's dead and he raises him up and here he's okay. Right? What helps to increase the faith? Here, the first part of this is that you come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, right? We're told again in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that God has already given us, each of us, an allotment of faith. How are we going to use the faith that God has given us? We can put faith in other things, which is what we see around the world a lot. We know a lot of people, I've told you this before, if you asked 100% of people in the world if they'd like to go to heaven and described heaven as this wonderful, perfect place where there's no disease, no problems, no anything, 100% of people in the world say, yes, I want to go to heaven. Where do we get lost then? Why, if everybody wants to go to heaven, do we get lost? Because not everybody puts their faith in Jesus. They don't understand what it means to live a life with Jesus means that you will get to spend glory for eternity with God. But it's only through Jesus. I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me, John 14:6 tells us. Faith in Jesus. Our faith is such a wonderful tool that God has given us to be able to apply to Jesus so that we can be saved and we can walk through this life. Talking about this understanding that faith guards us. As we walk through this life, I have faith that if I'm obedient to Jesus and what he tells me, that my next steps will end up with something good, even though I can't see it from here. Even though I walk around the turn and I see 20 more steps, I'm like, oh my goodness! How can there be more steps? I thought we were already there! You're trying to walk up this mountain of life. You turn the corner and there's more steps. And you're tired. And you're drenched in sweat. And you're going, I don't know if I can make 20 more steps. Faith gives us the strength, knowing who he is. We can't experience the comfort of Jesus. We can't experience the peace that surpasses all understanding on our own. We can't bring those things and manifest them. We have to intentionally go to Jesus. We have to intentionally put ourselves aside, die to self, and go to Jesus to experience those things. Is that easy? No. Walking up the mountain is not easy. But I'll tell you what, they made the steps, and the steps were easier probably than climbing some sheer cliff rocks. God always provides. He provided faith. He provided this opportunity for us to know him, to walk with him each and every day. And what this faith does for us, again, is this great multitude of things. It's not just, well, I believe in Jesus. That's wonderful. Are you living it? Well, how do I live it? By putting faith in Jesus and saying, you know what? I'm going to be... obeying the word. Well, that's hard, Pastor. Yeah, it is. But God didn't give it to us just because it was hard, because with God. Oh. Okay. You see what I'm saying? You see what God's saying to us? Yes, this guy was dealing with some doubt, and he wanted Jesus to help with the unbelief, and Jesus heals his son and all these things. It's wonderful. And then the disciples are asking, like, whoa, why couldn't we take care of this? He said, prayer is a big part of increasing your faith. Prayer is a big part of dealing with things in this life. Prayer is a huge part of that. And actually, in a different version we have in one of the other Gospels, I believe it's Matthew, it says prayer and fasting. And I'm a big proponent of, if there's something you're dealing with, it's just like, man, it's just pray and fast. Set aside a time and do that. Even if it's just 1 minute, you say, well, I can't, I'm diabetic. I'm not going to get into those things. That's not between me and you, it's between you and God. Prayer and fasting is huge. It's this connection that God has worked through. He's ordained this. He has ordained this. Is prayer ours? Did we create prayer? No. Whose church is it? Jesus said, I will build my church. It's the body of Christ. So anything that happens here is not ours. It's Christ's. Anything that he's given us to do is not ours. We didn't create it. He did. So if he set it up, he set it aside, he made it, he's ordained it, he will work through that. But we have to trust in that. We have to be intentional about that. We have to step into those things. I couldn't have climbed the mountain if I'd have stopped at the mountain half mark and said, I'm going back down. I'd have never seen the falls. I'd have never experienced the reward. I said, it's just getting too hard. I climbed, 20 sets of steps. I can't do anymore. I'm done. I'm going back down. Every step. Just remember that, church. Every step is another step. As long as we're taking the right direction with Jesus, we're going to eventually end up at the reward. And I want you to understand something. Part of the reward, and actually I would say all the reward, is the relationship with Jesus already. It's already a relationship with Jesus. To have a relationship with the creator of the universe is a great reward. How awesome is that? That he walked with us every step of that mountain path. It's not just something where it's like, well, can you just take away the mountain? Even if you don't, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. This thing of faith brings us into that understanding. We wouldn't understand that without faith. We couldn't understand that because we look at things from a physical perspective. We look at these tools that God has given us, and we don't completely understand them all. We don't apply them the right way. But God, through his word and by the power of his spirit, is leading us and guiding us. And he's showing us, I've given you, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God has already given us every tool that we need to live this life of godliness. He's already given it to us. Now apply it. Apply it to your life. Apply prayer. Apply study of Scripture. Apply fellowship with other believers. Apply those things. Don't just be out there like, yeah, hope for some fairy dust that's going to land on you and everything will be perfect. Because it won't, guys. It will never happen that way. Living the life of a Christian is definitely not easy. It's not for the weak. Not for the faint-hearted. Talking to my son about some different things coming home from that trip. It takes real strength to stay away from some things in this world, because the things of the world come at you and it's like people are going to be like, oh, well, you're a weirdo for not doing these things. It takes real strength to say no. That's where the strength is. Not saying yes, not thinking that everything you go out and do in the world's good. The real strength comes when you deny yourself. Deny yourself. To lean into those things is easy. It's easy for us if we leave here right now and go do all the things of the world. It's open to us. It's so open to us that we openly have a month where we're celebrating sin. That's how easy it is for us to step into sin. We look like weirdos when we don't celebrate sin. That's good. But I'm just saying. So anytime you leave this church, you can leave here today and go do anything you want to do. It'll be easy to do that because the flesh craves those things. The hard part is saying no. The hard part is denying the flesh. But with God, say it again louder. And that happens through faith. Where's your faith today, church? Do you believe that? I believe. Help my unbelief. The disciples cried out, Lord, please increase our faith. They recognized they needed an increase in faith to be able to fight against the things this world was throwing at them. I have to forgive people no matter what. Just look at the cross. What did he save us from? What did he save you from? Did he stop at a certain time and say, you know what, no, you've just gone too far. I can't save you. Did he stop there? We need a strengthening of our faith. And that only happens whenever we will truly walk and be intentional about our life with Jesus. I was thinking about that, and I'll close with this. The praise team can come forward, and I'm just going to close quickly with this. I was thinking about that as we were doing we had the opportunity, the blessing of being able to do some of this work that's in here, the carpet that you see down, stuff like that, and some of those who came in to help. I was thinking, we worked on this worship area. It's wonderful. We worked on this worship area, and it's wonderful. We worked on that worship area. We call it the narthex. Was that a worship area? You better believe it. Sharon's office is a worship area. It's a worship area. It's where she is using her God-given talents for the kingdom here at this body. It's a worship area. She's giving of herself to do that. It's worship. It's kingdom work. This isn't just she's the secretary of the church and she just puts, thank God we have these bulletins that we can see every week. And if you don't have them, wow, look out. Or if there's a mistake, right? We have to understand this from a worship perspective. Because that's what our lives are about. And that comes through faith. And faith comes through Jesus. They understand that he allotted to each a measure of faith and that walking with him each and every day brings about this understanding of a life with him, of worship. So where is your faith at today, church? What's hindering that? Don't let it hinder. God has already taken away everything that's going to hinder. All we have to do is bring those things to him and give them over and he'll take care of it. But we have to be intentional about that on our part. We have to be intentional about that. He's already provided. These tools were already here, but these tools didn't cut carpet by themselves. They didn't paint walls by themselves. I wish they would. That would have been awesome. My knees would feel a lot better. But they don't. They're there for us to use. The tool of faith is huge. Where is it today, church? These altars are open. I don't know what God has said to you today, but I do know, like Jonathan said earlier, the Holy Spirit speaking to each one of us right now. What's he saying to you? Come to him. Give him the praise he deserves. If there's something hindering, come and bring it to the altar. Even if you just come here and lay your hand on the altar and just give it over to God. Don't let another day go by. And I want to say one more thing. We have a wonderful praise team every week up here. And if you'll notice, it's Jonathan usually and three young ladies. I'm sure there's some of you young men that are in the congregation that God has given you some talent to be able to sing. Maybe you should talk to Jonathan about that a little bit too. Maybe God's saying, you know, I'd like you to stand up here and use your voice to sing some praises. So just remember that as well. There's an opportunity in these areas, right? I'm going to make my son go up there next week. No, just kidding. I'm not going to make him. Where is your faith? In all seriousness. Because God loves every single one of us. God the Father loves us so much that he gave his only son that we would not perish but have eternal life. Come as we sing.